And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, doe?
I am David Jacoby.
In on the cool check-in.
Together we are Jalen Jacoby. Jalen.
On.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hit the brakes, Reg.
Oh, no. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Can we just not talk about it, Jay? Can we just not talk about it?
Well, I mean, what normally happens when people make mistakes when you're playing basketball or football or baseball or soccer or UFC, what does the person on a winning team normally do? Now you're demanding an apology.
Now you're demanding an apology. That's what you're doing. I'm so sorry, Jalen Rose and Reggie and Tony and Tanner and everybody. It's my bad. Does that make you feel better? My bad.
So now we can get a people what they want.
We have a special guest coming later, a gentleman that has something that Jalen Rose loves.
Bars!
That would be bars. Jalen Rose loves bars. We have Dave East on the show later today. Big performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo. He did something that only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has done in the history of the sport. We saw so
you
many
go,
great...
and I, when I jump in my car, people treat me like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
We saw so many great college basketball performances on Tuesday night. I did not think they would be topped. James Wiseman comes to mind. Cassius Staley comes to mind. But Cole Anthony, the hype on him might be real. Cole Anthony was balling last night. We're going to talk about that. And we've got so much more to discuss. But we start with Giannis Antetokounmpo. He put up 38, 16, and 9 against the Clippers last night. First player since Kareem with 30, 15, and 5 in three straight games. And better than that, Giannis went 4-for-7 from downtown. You see how they were playing him. Jalen, what does shooting from deep do to Giannis's game and how you defend him?
Look at those highlights. These are the tails, the freaky tails. It makes him virtually unguardable. Remember last year, he was given the kind of output in the paint that was mirrored by only Shaquille O'Neal over the last 15 or 20 years. By the way, he was scoring and dunking. Now all of a sudden, you take that exact same player with a different body build clearly than the Diesel, and that same guy's also knocking down threes and playing off the dribble and handling in transition and making plays for himself and his teammates. Didn't he win MVP last year?
Yes, he did. Most valuable player in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah. And he's only gotten better. And his playmaking as well. He's always had a triple-double in this season. He had 9 assists. He's going to give you the rebounds. I love the way he continues to improve his game.
It's really, really interesting to see what he's doing, especially against the Clippers. Obviously, they were without Kawhi. Some people were calling this a finals preview. I'm not exactly sold on that. Is it too early to call this a finals preview?
You know how I am about this topic. I'm not calling anything a finals preview. I'm not putting anybody in an MVP race. I'm not talking about who's going to be in the sixth man of the year. I'm not doing any of that just yet. Only in the NFL. Right now, I'm going to enjoy the early part of the regular season and the dominance that Giannis put on display in the Staples Center.
Well, you mentioned the sixth man. Lou Williams has won that award multiple times, and he was driving to the basket, just, you know, doing his thing, driving with his left hand, and there's a little contact with Eric Bledsoe, who made the most of the flopportunity. Look at him fly through the air. Like, he straight up jumped up off the air like he was shot with a shotgun, and the referees called this an offensive foul. What did Doc Rivers do? He challenged it, and the referees upheld this call of an offensive foul. Doc Rivers spoke about the incident after the game. Let's check in with Glenn.
You have to overturn that. Unless Bledsoe fouled Lou with his face, there was no foul on that play. There was a flop. I think it should have been more of a chance that Bled got a letter from the league about flopping then Bled got fouled. That was awful. I don't like Giroux anyway. I said it up front, and now I like it even less.
Jalen, what is the point of challenges if they're not going to overturn that call?
I'm rolling with Doc on this. This mirrors what happened with the pass interference calls in the NFL. We thought ultimately the goal was to get the call right, yet the officials never overturned the call. Why? Because they don't want to show up their fellow officials. And it was light contact. It did not deserve the way Bledsoe sold it. And by the way, you need to trademark Flopportunity. I love that very much. And I dislike challenging, period. I don't think it's going to last long. And I agree with Doc Rivers.
I just want to say Stretch Mark 5 and Flopportunity are mine and no one can take them. I'm putting that on wax. Those are mine. If you see them or hear them anywhere else, you know they're plagiarizing. I also agree with you. I think it's like some sort of like official fraternity thing where they don't want to like show up the other officials. Why even have a challenge though? That's so clear. I understand some judgment calls. That is not a judgment call. That is so clearly a flop that it like makes me upset even talking about it. So we're going to move on. Jalen, I got some bad news for the 76ers. Not only did they lose to the Jazz, but in the second quarter, they lost Ben Simmons. He went out with a shoulder injury. You see it right there. It's kind of a freaky little injury. They're calling it a sprained AC joint. They will do more testing today. Jalen, you've had an injured left shoulder for like, I don't know, 7 years now. What does this mean for him moving forward?
I don't anticipate that's going to be the type of injury that keeps him out really long. But I want to highlight something on that play that normally doesn't happen in today's game. Please rerun that play. And I want all of the fans to watch Royce O'Neal on defense. He didn't flop. He didn't fall. And look at his face. He shook his head like, nah, uh-uh. You ain't going through me. This is a brick wall right here. That's how you play defense, everyone. Unlike the previous play where we saw with Eric Bledsoe. And that led to Ben Simmons actually getting injured. Now, here's a couple of problems as I tie this back to the Greek Freak. He improved his three-point shot. We saw him work on his game. We showed him making four threes. Remember in the preseason, Ben Simmons made one three? And they had a Philadelphia parade in Philadelphia on Broad Street?
Full parade.
And all of the media was celebrating. And I came on this program and said, you're not going to go from you're not going to go from not attempting shots outside of the paint to taking threes. So now that his shoulder's injured, over under, Jacoby, 5 threes this year for Ben Simmons. What you guess?
I say under. Way over. There's a lot of basketball left to play. Way over. I don't think this shoulder injury will be that serious, but we'll find out later. Way over. I'm definitely taking the over on 5 made threes. That's not hard. That's not hard to do. Jalen, we've already disrespected the referees, so I also want to point out something on that play that I liked. The no call. Not every contact is a call. Sometimes it's not an offensive foul or a defense foul. It's just contact. That was a good no call by the referee. Jalen, something happened. I need you to take us behind the curtain. Mike D'Antoni said that the Rockets are not in shape. He said they're not at peak physical fitness. And James Harden was asked about his fitness after the game. Let's check in with the beard.
We don't really practice a lot, so you know we're a vet team. You know, he leaves it up to us to go out there in the game and compete at a high level and kind of, you know, work our way through conditioning that way. So,
Jalen, take us behind the curtain. How is it that you are a professional basketball player? A few weeks into the season, it's mid-November, and your coach and the players are still saying they're working themselves into shape.
I saw a little tit for tat there. Mike D'Antoni tells the media his team isn't in shape. James Harden tells the media his team doesn't practice. That's normally where you get in shape. You want the players to be working out all offseason, and I always highlight the fact that back in the day, players worked out, okay? Players nowadays, they train. It's 24/7, it's 365, there's no off season. So now all of a sudden when you have training camp, there used to be two-a-days. The league doesn't allow two-a-days anymore. Players used to practice really frequently, even after they play heavy minutes sometimes. That doesn't happen anymore. Star players between games would practice heavy. That doesn't really happen as much as more. So now all of a sudden, like September in the NFL has become the new preseason, that's the exact same thing that's happening in the NBA in the early part of the year.
Well, the Hawks didn't just get blown out. They got blown out by the Bulls. Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce was very honest about it in his post-game comments. Let's check in with Coach Pierce.
What did some positive did you do tell this young core?
That the game is over. That's the best thing. I didn't know how to speed the game up. He called two timeouts in the fourth quarter. I'm looking at him like, well, you don't need to sub. Just let it go. Somebody's going to foul in the next couple seconds. That's the positive. This game is over and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Sometimes there's no positives. You had 18 points, Jabari. He had 18 points last night. We won. We had 18 points tonight. Easy. That's easy. He can do that in his sleep. There's no positives.
Jalen, have you ever been on an NBA basketball court and just wanted the game to be over?
Yeah, when you're getting the brakes beat off of you, or another guy has 79 and is trying to go for 81, absolutely. You want the game to be over. But that's where it tests your professionalism. That's what it tests. Because you don't want to get undisciplined and start flagrant fouling or cursing at the refs or getting ejected. You got to take your beat down like a man. And I give the Bulls credit for how they played. This is the perfect example of how Collins' impact on the Hawks is going to go from being a team on a lot of nights that shows playoff promise to a team that looks like a lottery squad. And that was a perfect example of it.
That is. The last couple games for the Hawks have been a microcosm of exactly what you're talking about. The best thing about rec league is we can just give up. Let's be like, you know what? 2 minutes left. Whatever. We're getting beat. Just give up. That's what we do. Jalen, it is time for some very important news that matters. On our subreddit page, which I go to often, make sure you go there, the Jalen and Jacoby subreddit, we had a submission for a topic that is so up your alley, Jalen Rose. It's about something that you are so passionate about.
Yes.
One of your favorite things in the world. And that, of course, is better made potato chips. Jalen.
Yes.
On our Reddit, they informed us that they are now making chocolate coated better made potato chips. Jalen, are you on board with chocolate on potato chips?
I'm not rolling.
Excited. You were so excited. There's two things that are good separately. Exactly. Potato chips, good. Chocolate, good. Potato chips and chocolate, not good.
Nope.
It's time to give the people what they want. If you're carrying revolving debt, that means you're not paying off your credit card every month. You could be paying thousands in interest every year that you don't have to. With LendingClub, you can consolidate your debt and pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, LendingClub has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to the bank, no high-interest credit cards. Just go to LendingClub.com and tell them about how much you want to borrow. Pick the terms that work for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as just a few days. You hear that? LendingClub is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion, with a B, in loans issued. Go to LendingClub.com/J&J. Check your rate, and in just minutes, you can borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/J&J. LendingClub.com/J&J. All loans made by WebLank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
In studio right now, we are joined by one of the greatest rappers alive. Dave East joins the program.
What's good, man? What's going on?
Jalen Rose, what does Dave East have? He spits bars. Bars. I go to bars. Dave East has bars. Not only that, though, Dave East, you may not know this, is a for real hooper. Dave East has games so much so he played AAU with Kevin Durant. What was it like playing with Kevin Durant as a youngin'?
I was different, man, to really watch, you know, him grow to the KD we know today. But it was an experience I'll never forget because I was so young and knowing Kevin before all of the superstardom came, it was dope to watch that.
So if Kevin Durant was on my AAU team, I'd be salty because I wouldn't be getting as many looks. Is there a part of you that kind of wishes he wasn't on your team so you could get better looks?
I'm rapping now, so it worked out.
Jay?
What did you think of KD's decision to join Brooklyn?
Oh, it was the best decision ever. He came back to the city, you know, so I was all for that.
We heard a rumor that you would be in the studio, and in with the studio with you were some of the best basketball players on the planet right now, like James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant. Is that true?
That's a fact.
What was it like?
It was, you know, it feel good to be in the presence of greatness and me doing what I do with the music and me being fans of them and they being fans of me. It just, you know, created a dope environment.
Jay?
You like seeing Russell now running with James Harden, and what do you think they could possibly do in the West?
I think they could go up, to be real. I feel like just them two together, they played together before in OKC, and they both superstars. So I feel like if they could figure that out, they could do something.
So we all know your music, obviously, but I want to know more about your basketball game. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Are you still hooping?
I can shoot.
You shoot?
I can shoot. I can shoot and I can jump. You know what I mean? I'm kind of caught up in the rap lifestyle, so I might can't run as much, but I can still shoot. I can jump. And yeah, I hoop from time to time.
I think there's some NBA players that are caught up in the rap lifestyle too.
Correct. That was my problem, Jacoby. That's why I couldn't jump, because I was in the rap lifestyle. If you had to compare your game to somebody in the league, who would you compare your game to, current or former player?
If I had to compare my game, probably Paul George.
Mm.
Yeah, probably PG. Because he a threat from any angle. You know what I mean? He can shoot. He can slash, you know. Athletic, I'd probably say Paul George.
That's good. I would say Jokic because he's got my body. He's a stretch mark five. You know what I mean? That's what I would say for my game. So, Davies, you know, we played with Kevin Durant. Obviously, you guys have a little relationship. Now, right. I know you've heard the song that he's on with LeBron James.
They got a joint?
Yes, they do. LeBron and KD have a song. I don't know if you've heard it, but does Kevin Durant have bars? Now, I know you play basketball, but does he rap?
Yeah, Kevin, he dabble. He dabble. I know he make beats.
Oh.
He was making beats. He was heavy on the production side, but he rap.
Are we ever going to get a rap. Kevin Durant produced Davies song?
We here now. Okay. Send me a beat, man.
Jalen.
Dave, you did something that made me so very happy. You were talking about your top MCs, and you mentioned my brother, The Ghost, Styles P. Friend of the show.
That's number one on my list.
Family is the Locks.
Yeah.
Can you let them know why Styles P deserves that love? And who are the other four rappers you'd like to put on that list besides yourself?
I always say Styles number one on my list just based on the time in my life when I fell in love with his music and what he was saying. It really got me from 15 to now, you know what I mean? So through my hardest times in life, I was knocking all them Styles mixtapes. Gangsta and a Gentleman was, you know, that's classic. So that's why I put P on the top of my list. And then getting in the game and meeting him and doing my own album with him and, you know, just catching that vibe, that big brother, little brother vibe, it sold him even more to me. I'm like, nah, P the best. But other than that, I would say Nas, of course, Biggie, Snoop. Put Snoop on that list.
Dame Lillard.
Who the last
Dame,
one?
Dame Lillard. Lillard.
Put me on there.
Put yourself on there. You got to.
Put me on there. I'm number five. Put me on the end of that list.
No question.
I mentioned Dame Lillard because, you know, we've all heard his songs. He's got bars. What do you think about Dame's music ability?
Dame is one of the you know, I haven't heard everybody in the NBA rap, but he's one of them dudes that if you didn't know he played ball, you could just listen to his music. And I mean, I feel like that's strong. Cause a lot of times when the NBA player try to transition to the rap, it kind of come off funny. But Dame nice. Dame can rap. I want to do a joint with Dame too. We actually spoke about it. But Dame nice.
Jake?
Speaking of nice, Sheck West and J. Cole also hoop. So who do you feel has the best game on the floor as MCs?
As a rapper? That I've personally seen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Quavo is nice.
Lefty.
Yeah, Quavo, he move around a lot. He nice. Chris Brown could play. Chris Brown could play.
Yes, he can. He can ball.
Trying to think who else. I ain't really, you know what's crazy? I see, shout out to my man Brickley, I see a lot of these dudes getting trained. These rappers is hooping with NBA players now in the offseason, so it's kind of hard. I feel like a few of them is really working. I see J. Cole working out. He doing real shooting drills and all of that. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to call it.
Those are all good. Like, J. Cole was pulling up from NBA threes in game.
And
I was like,
them.
Yo, yeah.
And was hitting them.
I know you only see the highlights on Instagram, but these highlights are impressive. Like, it would take me 20 minutes to hit an NBA three. So I have a question for you. Obviously, you've got the album Survivor coming out. We'll talk about that in a second. But you're also appearing as Method Man in the series. And I heard that Method Man sort of selected you and co-signed you as him. What was it like to sort of have that conversation and to hear that?
Oh, that was amazing. That was something really iconic for me to be able to, you know, portray somebody as big as Meth, you know, and for me to idolize him so long, you know, and to be able to meet him, vibe with him, and him give me his blessings on me being him, it was crazy. I'll never forget it.
I have to let you know something. Before the Wu-Tang series, I didn't have Hulu. It was the number one and only reason why I downloaded it. So tell your agent when you walk in there, y'all brought a culture with y'all for this project. Don't ever forget it. People
Shouts
start
to Hulu,
sleep.
Man.
What was it like? No doubt. What was it like to play not only Meth, but relive the story of the mighty Wu-Tang Clan?
That was crazy, you know, and then to be able to bump into a few of them on set. You know, RZA was there heavily. Meth would pop up in every now and then. DJ Mathematics was there. Just a few of them. I would see them, you know, speak to them. And I learned so much about Wu-Tang that I never knew. You know what I mean? Like, just their own background, the way they came together, the way RZA put that together is priceless to be a part of that. You know what I mean? So I learned a lot. I was able to, you know, really channel my inner Meth. You know what I mean? And go check it out, man. I'm Shotgun on there, by the way. That's my name on the show.
Okay. So you and I have something in common. We're both dads, right? I've got three young children. You've got a young child as well. Right. What's the father experience like for you? What's the craziest thing that your child has ever done to you?
Oh, man. The father experience is like nothing else. You know, I feel like that's my... Like, I created her, and I'm molding her, I'm watching her grow, so that's priceless to see that. Craziest thing, my daughter's real aggressive, and she don't really know her own strength, so she'll, like, just kick me, like, out the blue, it'd be mad close, and it might bust my lip or something. I'm like, you don't know how strong your little legs is, man, like, but probably that, she just, you know, out the blue, I'll be wanting to kiss her or something, and she'll just pop me. You know what I mean? I got to prepare for those. I got to protect my jewels because she comes jumping the bed. She don't even know they there.
They don't know about that. Yeah, they're like wearing a cuff around the house.
They just, I got to wear. I need a jock strap in the crib. Word.
Jalen.
So now being a parent, what has that done for you? Not only you talked about it personally, but professionally, because for me, when I started having kids, it seemed like it gave me a different level of drive and motivation.
Right. 100%. I don't sleep, man. You know what I mean? Like, at this age, she's three, so I don't mind sacrificing the time, you know what I mean, of being around her to create a life that she gonna have forever. So, I go super hard. And I was going hard before she was born, but the day I seen her, it was like, oh no, I really got something to live for, something to really, you know, I want to impress her. You know what I mean? I want her to be impressed with her dad when she gets to a certain age. You know what I mean? So that just keeps me going as hard as I could possibly go.
Well, I imagine the birth of the daughter was a big day in your life. We are also very close to another big day in your life.
Big,
tomorrow,
big
Survivor is available. You can get all Dave East bars. If someone was thinking about getting this album, what can you tell them about it?
It's my life. If you never met me, if you familiar with me but don't know me at all, you're gonna feel like by the time you get to the outro, You're going to feel like you know exactly who I am, what I come from, who I come from. You know, I call it like an E-True Hollywood story on myself. And I mean, it's my life in words.
I love that. I love it because I feel like a lot of musicians now kind of put out a collection of songs, not necessarily albums,
right,
that have a beginning, a middle, and end and tell a story.
Right.
Is that kind of what Survivor will do for the fans?
Exactly what it'll do. I come from that era, you know, them where it was albums, you know what I mean, with skits.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a storyline to it. It was, you know, I come from that era. So this being my debut album, I wanted to show that how I'm a new artist now. You know what I mean? I'm a newer artist, but what I come from and the music I love to make, the music that made me a fan of rap, I had to sprinkle all that on my album. You know what I mean?
You're also going to have a tour for Survivor with my guy Millie's. Big shout out to Millie's. So how could fans join you on that tour?
Right now, the tickets available, shop.davies.com. We start first night on the 22nd in Atlanta. It's my first time going to Europe on the tour, you know, so looking forward to that, Survivor.
Well, congratulations on the album. Congratulations on the tour. Continued success. You're welcome to come back and join us in this studio anytime you want.
Word.
Anytime you want, you're welcome to come back. Jalen, we saw some great performances by young men in college basketball on Tuesday night. They all might have been topped last night by UNC's Cole Anthony. My man had 34 points and 11 rebounds. Jalen, what did you think about Anthony's debut?
I must shout out his father, Greg, who ran with the Running Rebels and basically were the fathers of the style that the Fab Five was able to usher. Mm. Shout to Anderson Hunt, Detroit Southwestern as well. He's a combination guard, Jacoby, that has all the requisite skills. He can dribble, pass, and shoot, in particular with range. Don't underestimate the 11 rebounds. He was playmaking for himself. He's playmaking for teammates. He was unselfish out there. He was aggressive out there. He's playing like a guy that has something to prove. And being on Get Up the day that he announced to go to UNC and getting a chance to talk to him, he's a mature young man. He's really humble. He's going to keep working hard.
So, Jalen, one thing about the Fab Five that was so amazing is just how you five were able to perform as freshmen. It seemed like in the old days, freshmen used to develop for a year or two and kind of figure out the game. And we've seen this week pure freshmen just coming out and dominating. What do you think has changed since when you played to now?
Well, the number one thing that's changed is that the game is just younger overall. So he's playing against a lot. The better players are younger as well because of the one and dones. When I came in college, the reason why it was a lot tougher because the best teams had juniors and seniors that also went on to the pros. That was the difference. So That's no different to what we're seeing like almost in the NFL with quarterbacks. They used to go sit for a couple of years. Now they come in and they're playing right off. So in this case, for Roy Williams to give him that opportunity, because he's had a couple of freshmen that were really high touted that he didn't start even their freshman year. So for him to get this opportunity and make the most of it, I'm looking forward to watching him this season.
Well, Coach Roy Williams was asked about load management. Seems to be the topic of the moment. And here's what he had to say after the game.
Guys, we play. It's 30 or 40 game season. I'm not going to have a guy wearing out early in the year. I think I see a lot of kids in college basketball. I don't believe this load management junk that you hear about in the NBA. My God, pay me $25 million a year or something like that. My load's always going to be pretty light. But I do believe you've got to rest some players during the course of the game and during some times in practice. And we've done that even with Cole.
So it's interesting. He's basically saying that there's no days off, but you have to rest players and manage their load sort of that way by resting them in practices and during games. What do you think about that approach to load management?
Don't touch that dial, because the NBA has really been taking shade over the last couple of days about load management, and I'm going to tell you some of the things the league has actually done to elongate careers. And for Roy Williams, I agree. It's not, again, just about the minutes in the box score. It's about practice. It's about sleep. It's about your nutrition. It's a 12-month thing, not a 40-minute thing. I want to make sure I keep stressing that.
So, Jalen, you mentioned that the NBA has made some changes to sort of elongate careers and make it easier on players to play 10, 15, and you look at Vince Carter, 20 years. What have they done to do that?
Multiple things, and this is why the progression in the league trumps, for example, even the NFL, who instituted games on Sunday and then games on Thursday. Look at these things. I talked about no two-a-days, no physical intimidation. You can't drive to the basket and get clotheslined and then somebody go to the free throw like Mikael and Rambis and play on. Eliminated long road trips, 4 games in 5 nights, 8 games in 10, 12 days. Analytics limits mid-range, so therefore the game just isn't as physically pounding. Look what happened with Ben Simmons, how he got hurt. It would be more injuries like that if you played in close proximities. Rest and load management is something that's accepted via coaches, via organizations, and now via players. We saw Kawhi Leonard miss a game, 2 games already this year because of that. And then travel accommodations. For those that don't know, there was a time where NBA players traveled commercial, play a game, and then play the next night in a different city. So they've done a terrific job of doing whatever they can to make it so that the players can put the best product out there on a nightly basis.
Yep. The Jalen and Jacoby Podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. Jalen, we always say something on this show that we don't force topics. So we give you the opportunity to decide whether or not you would like to discuss some topics of the day in a segment that we call Keep It Moving. Here's how it works. If you want to discuss the topics, say hit the brakes. If not, me and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Patrick Mahomes may or may not play against the Titans. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
I wouldn't play them. I believe that they are keep it moving for now.
We keep moving. We keep it moving.
Baker Mayfield explained his trident of facial hair during his last game. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
I love his honesty with the media, but I want to actually talk to him and the Browns about what's happening on the field. Keep it moving. They got an easy schedule coming up.
We keep it moving.
We have an update on Tua.
I believe he's going to play against LSU. It's probably the biggest game of the year. If he can walk, he's going to play. Keep it moving.
Okay.
Keep it moving. We keep it moving.
We have an update on Paul George.
Sometimes I just like seeing Method Man because he's a member of the mighty Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes.
Hit the
yes.
brakes right here.
We will hit the brakes. Doc Rivers on Paul George's return. Let's check in with Glenn.
Yeah, I don't know the date, but very soon. Is that better? Very, very. You know, if I say 2 verys, would that help? You know. So very, very soon. Possibly our next real practice. Is that better? I'm just trying to help.
Okay, what do you think Paul George will add to the Clippers when he gets back to full strength, and how long do you think it'll take for him to get back to full strength?
I mean, the Clippers made the playoffs last year with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell playing the way they played against the Bucks. You now infuse Kawhi Leonard, the reigning finals MVP, and Paul George, who was third in the MVP race, into that team. Lockdown defense, the ability to switch everything. This is the enthusiasm that everybody has to anticipate that the Clippers have a real chance to win it all this year.
So, Jalen, how long do you think it will be from the time he plays in a game to the time he's back to being the Paul George that was in the MVP race last year?
And this is a shoulder surgery that he had on both. So I would give him 2 to 4 weeks before I put him out there in a real game because of the pounding that your shoulders constantly take, reaching and playing defense, falling on the ground, doing slam dunks, people hacking at you, trying to foul you. So I would give him up to a month, really.
All right. Moving on. Eric Bledsoe did something I have never seen done on an NBA basketball court. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Oh, we got to hit the brakes if you've never seen it.
Let's check in on Eric Bledsoe inbounding the ball. Gets it from the ref, and then just starts going. Just starts going. Jalen, what do you think?
I think he was back in Cali. It's legal out there. I think Adam Silver's on the phone, and that's a failed test, Mr. Bledsoe. That's what I believe.
Jalen Rose is giving Eric Bledsoe the failed test treatment for that one. Dude, what is going through your mind? Like you can't even do that in rec league. You got to check it up. You know what I mean? In pickup, you got to check it up. Like, come on, Eric Bledsoe. What are you doing? Failed test. Jalen Rose, Bradley Beal practices all aspects of his game, including his flops. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes on this.
All right, let's check in on Bradley Beal during the pregame tunnel. They do this thing where it's like, you know, the pregame routine is always the same. And while he's running out, he bumps into a teammate. Not only does he bump into a teammate, he flops like Eric Bledsoe did when Lou Williams hit him. What do you think about practicing your flop opportunities?
I think he just planned. It's tongue in cheek. It's almost like when I say things on this show, people actually take me serious when I'm joking 98% of the time. That's how I take this.
Perfect. Zach LaVine, your guy, Zach LaVine, did something really impressive in a basketball game last night against the Hawks. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Oh, hit the brakes.
We're going to hit the brakes on this one. Let's check in on your guy, Zach LaVine, in the game. Watch this. Gets the block shot, great marketing outlet pass, and then the 360 Ooh. In game.
Ooh. 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 The first player I saw do a 360 in a game, we were at Houston. Vince Carter got a steal and did a reverse 360, turned the opposite way for a righty. I've seen a couple of players do it. After that, I recall John Wall doing a version of a 360 and a couple of other guys. But you don't see that happening in live action. Two hands, easy. Like, that was easy money.
Oh, yeah. Jalen, could you ever do a 360 dunk?
No. 140.
Carmelo Anthony was supporting his alma mater, Syracuse, and he wore something that you need to see. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
I need Carmelo Anthony in the NBA. This gives me a chance to talk about him even more. Hit the brakes.
Okay, Jalen, I need to get your take on this one because I'm out of touch and I'm washed and I'm not the most fashionable person in the world. This is his outfit. And he had a matching hat. Soft move or boss move?
A boss move always representing your alma mater. I did it this week as well. And for those that don't know, I was going to Syracuse. Let me say that to a microphone again.
Okay.
I was going to Syracuse. My number in high school was not 5. It was 42. I took 5 because I was the 5th person to sign the letter of intent. You ever heard of a Hall of Famer named David Bing?
Mm-hmm.
That's my godfather. You ever heard of a gentleman called Derek Coleman? That's my big brother representing Detroit City. So I was going, no question about it. But I couldn't turn down a chance to be in the Fab. Couldn't turn that down.
The Fab 5. Again, we want to congratulate Juwan Howard on his first win with the Michigan basketball team. And Steve Kerr, head coach of the Warriors, explain the difference between playing with Michael Jordan and Tim Duncan. If you don't hit the brakes, I'm going to be so mad. Hit the brakes and keep moving.
Hit the brakes. Got to hit the brakes on this one.
Steve Kerr told The Ringer, the difference between Michael Jordan and Tim Duncan is you always felt like you play with Tim, and at times it felt like you were playing for Michael. Jalen, what does that mean to you as someone who played in the league?
It's just different styles of leadership, but each guy playing to their personality. Tim Duncan wasn't going to be the guy out at the casino till 4 or 5 in the morning with a cigar. He just wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to be the guy to show up at the game with a sports car. He wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to be the guy to show up with a 3-piece suit on and an earring. That's just MJ beat to a different drum. And that's why he's the GOAT. Tim Duncan was inclusive with his teammates. He's not really loud. He's not really boisterous, but he's the big fundamental. Block shots, bank shots. So I appreciate when people stay true to their personality. And both of those guys help him get rings. So I know he loves them both the same.
So you weren't exactly known for defense when you played in the league. But what was the hardest part about defending each one of these Hall of Famers?
Well, for Tim Duncan, he was virtually unguardable, especially when he was early in his career. Later in his career, he had almost like a hitch in his jump shot, where he wasn't as confident in it, but he still knocked it down. But MJ would just dazzle you. He's the most flamboyant person to ever play basketball, Michael Jordan. Everybody, I want you to remember something. His nickname was Air. Also, the Black Cat. Lastly,
He played with his tongue out of his mouth, Jacoby. How do you play basketball with your tongue out of your mouth?
And chewing gum, too. You know, people say you can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I literally cannot play basketball and chew gum at the same time. And Michael Jordan would hang 40 on Jalen Rose doing all of those things. Jalen Rose. James Harden, the Rockets played the Warriors, and obviously the Warriors look different than they have in the past. But James Harden was talking about the Warriors' injury woes in the postgame, and just watch.
I don't know. You know, hopefully those guys, you know, Clay and obviously KD and Steph, hopefully those guys get you know, back on the court soon.
Yo, I'm dead serious. Does James Harden know Kevin Durant is no longer on the Warriors?
He does know, but he was still frustrated by his team's play, and he did have a big game, but that was hilarious that he named KD as the part of the team. That was funny.
I think he's got PTSD, he's like, from losing to them in the playoffs.
KD?
Yeah.
Correct.
When he thinks Warriors, he's just correct. He's like, game seven, game six. He's like, he's been beaten by that team so many times that he just hasn't processed the fact that Kevin Durant is no longer in that uniform to take him out of the playoffs one more time. Jalen. We spent all summer talking about Zion Williamson. It just seemed like there was just so much focus on Zion, like Dylon. But he's not playing. Do you know who is? Ja Morant. And Ja Morant is making a mark. I mean, look at where he ranks, Jalen Rose. First in points, first in assists, first in field goal percentage if you've attempted more than 100 shots. Jalen, he had 26 points yesterday as the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves. What have you seen so far from Ja Morant?
I appreciate how he can finish. If you look at his slight of build, you feel like you can push him off of the angle and make him shoot a low percentage shot. And he's shooting 50% from the floor. Right, wrong foot, wrong leg, wrong hand layups. He got him with the left, did a sweet one. Did a couple with the right. His mid-range game is there. He's been an impressive rookie for Memphis and giving them optimism going for the future. Brooks had a big game for them. I really like Jaren Jackson Jr. They're building a nice core there with the Grizzlies.
They do. Morant is so just athletic that it seems like he jumps in the air and then sort of figured out what he's going to do with it and ends up going in. Like that one yesterday when he went the reverse and just sort of like threw it with two hands underneath the basket. He's been so impressive. He can do it from all phases. I'm really excited about Ja Morant. And one thing no one's talking about, Jalen, where's Zion Williamson? Can we get a timetable? Can we get something? Because it seemed like he was going to play, and we haven't seen or heard an update on him in quite some time. Jalen, tonight, in Oakland, week 10, the National Football League starts, and we have the Chargers traveling to Oakland to play the Raiders. The Chargers coming off a big win against the Packers. What do you think will happen tonight on Thursday Night Football?
Derek Carr is going to be running for his life tonight, just like Aaron Rodgers was. Bosa and Ingram are going to be getting after him. Mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers is going to find a way to have a big game. Keenan Allen's going to catch a touchdown. Eckler's going to catch a touchdown. Gordon's going to run for a touchdown. Big win tonight, I'm predicting, for the Chargers.
Jalen, you seem invested in this. You wouldn't happen to have any extremely expensive fantasy implications to this game, do you?
Well, you know I'm here to self-serve. So if Phillip Rivers plays well, that means my wide receiver Keenan Allen also gets a lot of points. So, of course.
I love the guy says, I'm here to self-serve, when we say give the people what they want on every single show. The best way to give the people what they want is just open up your ears and listen to the people. And if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave a voicemail. And if you give Reggie a shout-out, he will put it on the show just like this.
Shout-out, Reg. Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. Dan out in Maryland. I'm actually looking for some relationship advice. So I look like Jacoby, and I just started seeing this girl who looks like Jalen. This is to both of you? Probably more towards Jalen. But do you guys have any advice or anything that I should be aware of when it comes to this situation? This will be my first time dating somebody who looks like Jalen. All right. Thanks, guys. See ya. Keep giving them what they want.
All right.
Oh, you got experts here. We got a living, breathing human being in David Jacoby.
Yeah, he's like, this is probably, this one's more
experience.
He's like, this one's more for Jalen. It's like, well, I am a white guy that has been dating a black woman for 17 years and we're married and have three kids. But if you want to talk to Jalen about it, go ahead. Go ahead. That's like asking Jalen about pizza. Like, go ahead. Go ahead, Jalen. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know about pizza, but you're the expert. This is the same thing, but I can understand why he asked my advice, because I am 46 years old. I only been married 2 years. That's all I'm going to say. So with that being said, first and foremost, when she gets ready, don't touch her hair.
Nope.
Don't touch her hair. Also, Jacoby, you start this one. You start this. I want to hear you cook.
I know how to do this. I know how to do this. This is right up my alley. Let me say this. Two words. Downplay. Just don't make it a thing. It is not a thing. It is 2019. This is not 1935. She is a human first before she is an African American or black or whatever you want to say. She's a human being. It is no different than dating any other race. It's not. It's really not. So don't ask stupid questions. Don't make it an issue. It is not an issue. It's only an issue if you make it one. Yep. Now, if you guys date for a long time, you can start getting funny with it and make jokes and sort of ask questions. But that's like 2 years down the road.
Yep.
The first 2 years, you just treat her like you would any other person, whether they're Indian or Hispanic, Latinx, whatever we're calling that now. I don't know what the proper term is. If they're from anywhere doing anything, just treat them like a regular human being. Downplay the whole situation. Really, honestly, that's the best advice I have for you, Dan. Treat them like a human being first.
And also, on the flip side, have thick skin. Because while most of the world and civil human beings believe the way Jacoby believes, and I echo exactly every word he just said, there are some idiots out there. They actually are going to make it a thing. Just like being an athlete, there may be times where people try to heckle you or get under your skin, try to make sidebar comments or look at you guys upside down. Just ignore them. Live your best life.
Yes.
When that happens, hold her hand tighter. Put your arm around her more. Make those people that upset.
And here's
doesn't
one
matter
thing.
What race they are.
Here's one thing that I need to say if y'all go down the road, because I've been with a black woman for 17 years, is it does not give you any license in any way, shape, or form to behave in any way, shape, or form. But you can never use that excuse. You can never be like, oh, well, I can say that because I'm married to a black woman, or, oh, it's okay, I'm married to a black woman. Like, no, it is not okay. It does not give you any sort of pass whatsoever or any license to behave in any certain way. You need to behave the exact same way. I refuse to use that as a crutch. Oh, it's like, oh, I can be slightly racist because I'm married to a black woman. Like, no, you cannot. No, you cannot whatsoever.
And A-plus rules still apply. I don't care if y'all watching a movie. I don't care if y'all listening to music. I don't care if y'all get into an argument. Do not use that N-word in any way, shape, or form.
No. That shouldn't even be part of it. If that's a consideration, then you're in the wrong business.
But you didn't listen to the first part. You didn't listen to the first part. I said whether you're watching a movie, whether you're listening to music, whether you're joking, in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
Don't do it.
Nope.
Please don't do it. And also, don't feel like you got to win everybody over in her family or in her friends or at her job or whatever. Don't feel like you got to win everybody over just because you just so happen to be white dating somebody that's black.
So, friend of the show who's here today at the Seaport, too big for our show now. She graduated. Much like Marcus Spears and Damian Woody and Chinne Agumake. She's on First Take. Like, she graduated J&J. You start with J&J on ESPN2, and then all of a sudden, you graduate, you go to First Take, and you forget about us. I understand how that works. We went to go support Chinne and her sister, NECA, at the Sparks game. And I was cheering them on, because they're family. And I stood up, and I go, NECA scored. And I stood up, and I go, yeah, NECA! I didn't feel comfortable afterwards. I didn't feel comfortable afterwards. I didn't feel comfortable afterwards. I sat down and I was like, I'm not going to do that again. I was like, it just came out. I was like, yeah, NECA. And then I was like, that didn't feel right. That didn't feel right at all. That didn't feel right at all. But I didn't even want to say it on the pod.
I love you very much. But you left off one part that I'm pretty sure could have been a teaching moment. At that time, you're supposed to put your arm around my nephew and look at Q and say, don't you do it either.
Oh, that was the best.
Because you don't want to make a mistake.
Nope. Thank you for the call, Dan. Keep us updated, Dan. I'm invested in the relationship. Keep us updated, Dan. Let me know how it's going. Hopefully, this is the beginning of a long relationship. Oh, no. Oh, Darrell's
here. David Jacoby. This allows us to rebirth something that we had on this program. Please call us with your significant other for relationship advice.
Yep.
This is a reason to reincarnate that.
Dan, thank you so much for the call. Make sure you call back and give us updates. Shout out to you and shout out to that young lady.
Shout out.
Reg, first of all, before you play another voicemail, Reg, I want to say, interact with us. You're driving in your car right now. You're listening to the podcast. You're at work right now. You're working out right now. Pick up your phone, dial 985-80-JALEN. We'd love to hear from you. We say we give to people what they want. We can't get to people what they want unless we hear from the people. So right now, call 985-80-JALEN, and you can get in the show just like this.
What up, though? Shout out to Reg the Ledge, Harlan, and all the other producers. This is Teddy in Brooklyn. Shout out to all my fellow educators. I hope you guys are having a good school year, getting off to a great start. First question for Jalen is about hairline. Shout out to Shiz and all Jalen's barbers and all 3,000 of Jacoby's barbers. Jalen, you called out Paul George. You called out Jason Tatum, Fred VanVleet. Who is the starting five and one bench player for your all hairline team? Second question for Jalen. If you did get a street named after you or a corner named after you in Detroit, I know you mentioned that in a previous pod. What intersection or neighborhood would you want that street to be? And third and finally, Jacoby answered a question for a young man who called in about how to kind of start his path on towards being a person like Jacoby on ESPN talking about sports. Like I said before, I'm an educator. I work with young people. Shout out to Nas and Tyreek, two people who do podcasts with me all the time. I'd love it if you guys could give them a little love and encourage them to keep going. But if, Jacoby, you have any other advice for young people aspiring to be on ESPN talking about their passion, we'd love to hear it. Keep giving the people what they want. We love what you do. I hope I hear my call on the show. Thanks so much.
First of all, big shout out Teddy for being an educator. Educators underappreciated. I mean, you give your children to these people. They take your children. Don't just take care of them. They make them better and educate them. I didn't teach my son how to read.
Nope.
He just came home, started reading stuff.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that. I didn't teach my son math. He just came home, started adding stuff. I had nothing to do with any of that. Shout out to Miss Yoon at PS33.
Shout out.
I did nothing for that. And secondly, Jalen Rose, one of your favorite topics, hairline. So he mentioned some, but like just off the top of your head, whenever we do lists, they're incomplete. Just want to say that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, literally and figuratively, top hairlines in the NBA.
Shout out to the caller for well as being an educator. You know, being the founder of a charter high school, I see that work happening on a daily basis. And not only are they responsible for educating young people and being sounding boards and support groups and giving them love, also babysitting.
Yeah.
It's an 8-hour drop off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see Jacoby do it all of the time.
Every day.
Off the top, lists are incomplete. I know I'm going to forget some people. I don't have any preparation. He named a couple. Paul George, Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons.
Alex Caruso.
Fred VanVleet.
Alex Caruso.
I'm going to have to come back to that.
Yeah, we can put you in the starting five. Okay, there you go. That's five right there.
We just gave him love.
That's five right there.
Yep.
So, Jalen,
I want to talk about something.
And LeBron,
talked about this.
And I got a substitute for you. LeBron. Uh-huh. He coming LeBron off the bench.
Yeah, no headband. No headband.
Yeah, he got a...
He got the PEDs. He's suspended for 25 games from the league, though. He got suspended for 25 games like John Collins.
Right.
PEDs. So, I gotta say this. We were literally talking about this earlier with Kayla Johnson. Shout out to Kayla. Paul George's hairline, while it's got the right angles and it's very straight, is too close to his eyebrows. It's too close to his eyebrows. He don't have a forehead. He got like a 2 head. He got like a 2.5 head. Reggie in my ear screaming, he's got the greatest hairline of all time. I'm saying, y'all have different priorities. See, again, I think people that look like Jalen care more about their hairline than people look like me. But I will also say this, is just because it's straight, I want it to look good. Like, Jalen, yours is appropriately distanced from your eyes. Paul George is too close to his eyes. Too close to his eyes. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose.
I think this is definitely cultural because people that look like me don't care as much about their forehead as people like you.
Nope. Oh.
So if my hairline was closer to my eyebrows, I would like it, not dislike it.
All right, so we got the starting hairline team. Jalen Rose, I'm going to get you this street. I put you in the Michigan Hall of Fame with a strongly worded email. It's time for a street. I mean, New York City, they got streets for everybody out here. And you've done so much for the city of Detroit that you honestly deserve it. You deserve a street. I'm going to figure out who the right person to talk to is, and I'm going to get that done. So the question from Teddy is, where do you want your street?
Right off 15,000 Trojan, where JRLA resides.
That's right. That's right. That's how it should be. Just how Dirk got his right outside the arena. That's perfect. That's perfect. All right. All right. Now put that in for, get that information to me so I can put it in my strongly worded email that I'm going to write to Parks and Recs. I don't even know who you write to. I'll figure it out. I'll get that information. And finally, Teddy wants us to give a big shout to Nas and Tariq. Big shout to Nas and Tyreek. Two great names to do a podcast. I'm downloading that just on the strength of their names. And I want to say my advice for people that want to get in the game is, it's not like it was 20 years ago when I started. Like, when I started, you needed expensive equipment, a full studio. You needed a lot just to get in the game. But the barriers of entry are so low right now, you can have a podcast for like $150. The equipment's not that expensive. So my advice for people that are trying to get on ESPN, do it yourself. You know what I mean? Before you're on ESPN, you need to spend some time developing. Jalen Rose didn't just wake up, come out the womb, and start playing in the NBA. He played as a 5-year-old. He played as a 10-year-old. He played AU. He played junior high. Played high school. And it's that same thing. I know you want to be in the league. You want to be at ESPN, but you have to go through the whole journey first. And the journey first starts with your very first recording. So you can do it inexpensively. Just start it now. Go ahead, Jay.
And also, you pointed to two things that are really important. One, when you're saying doing it yourself, that also creates a level of entrepreneurship and ownership that you want to have with mm-hmm. your content. Right. And then number two, you have to build your audience slowly but surely. Just like we did. We were a once a week podcast. Then we were a podcast 5 days a week.
Yep.
Then we were a 2-hour radio show. Then we were a late night 30-minute show. Then we were in an afternoon 30-minute show. Now we're an afternoon 1-hour show. So you got to keep planting seeds to create your harvest.
Well put, Mr. Rose. Thank you so much for the call, Teddy and Dan. Thank you, Dave East, for coming through. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, KRS?
Done. We're not done. We're not done.
Got to give the people.
My little guys. I love them.
What it do, baby?
Yeah.